Blog Talk Radio.
Hey kids, this is Gons and welcome to Off the Wagon, and we are going to have a very special guest, better known as Ryan Quinn Flanagan. We're going to have to actually first guy wherever you have to call once, bear with me here, because believe it or not, I am not a technical person. You don't want the alcoholics to be doing this kind of stuff. So let's have this great poet on here that I truly honored to have him on here. Let's dial a number. And hopefully we get through. So, and bear with me, folks. All right. It's ringing. Hello. Ryan, are you there? Cannot hear you, so I'm guessing I'm going to have to redial. Let's check real quick and see if we can get him on here. This is again, I apologize, folks. Okay. And hello. Nope. Call is dropped. All right. Let's see. Let me call him again. As you can tell, this is such a professional show. And again, folks, I apologize because we don't normally people call in, but this, under this circumstance, we couldn't do that. So I will dial again. Let's see. Let's try it one more time. Hello. Can you hear us? I'm guessing not. Okay, well, phone's dropped. Okay. All right, well, folks, looks like this is not going to work. So, isn't it lovely? Well, let's give this one more shot. Oh, God. I swear, this is just apropos for this show. Hello, Ryan.
Yeah.
Hey, man. God, you know, sorry about that. Boy, we really, we kind of screwed the pooch on that one. I kept putting a one before it, and we couldn't even get you for a while. I don't know, were you hearing us, or was
no,
it just on my
end? No, I wasn't
end?
Hearing anything. It was just like,
okay.
Like into the void there. So I was sitting there going, is there anybody out there?
I'm so sorry, man. You know, this is, believe it or not, I'm not a technical guy, so probably when people sit there and listen to us, listen to me go over that, they'll really know it then. You know, I don't think anybody would ever think I'm the most technical of people, so I apologize for that because I don't know what the problem was, but we do have you on here now, and it is a honor to have you, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. Honored to be on.
I can't believe we got you on here. I was like, really? Have you heard the show before? So, oh, man. Okay, let's start this off and let me try to act like I actually know what I'm doing. You know, I was reading. I've been doing a lot of research. The only guest I had to do so much research besides Stephen. But you is a lot different, man. You are prolific, to say the least, my friend.
Well, lots of bad weather up here, so plenty of time to write.
Oh, I can imagine.
I'm sitting here right now looking out the window watching a snowstorm.
Oh, Jesus. Well, it's like 70s here, so there you go. A little bit different from the temperatures. But no, man, you are, how many books do you exactly have out right now? Because it's hard to keep up. I think you have one out every week.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I think it's probably about 30.
30? Oh, my God, man. You know, it's like, Jesus. I mean, when you're writing a book, I mean, are you pretty much, I mean, you're a very fast writer. Am I mistaken? Yeah, you're very fast. So, I mean, are you pretty much, when you're writing one, you're ready to move on to the next one before you're even done, or do you even take a break?
Not too much of a break. Yeah, it's kind of Stephen was saying the same thing, right? It's kind of like that. You get kind of itch, and when you finish one, you just want to move on to the next one.
Yeah, definitely.
So you just kind of do that, and sometimes you're
you guys amaze me, man. Congratulations on your new
writing.
Sometimes
you're a few at the same time.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the way you all are. I'm like the laziest writer, but that's okay. It's amazing I know how to spell. So,
well, you
no,
said you
man,
lost your. You said you lost your manuscript.
Yeah.
On
that is absolutely true.
That's
yeah, the very first book. Yeah, that's a real long story, but to make it short, yeah, it kind of. It wasn't so much I lost it was lost for me. I'll put it that way. And it was insane, but in another way, it wasn't time for that book. That book actually was sold. It had a publisher and everything, but then unfortunately the press that was done under went out of business. Once it was like the story of my life, but
that
so it was a bad deal all the way around, man. But you know, it does happen, man. I mean, God knows. So, congratulations on your writes up at HST, man. And it seems like so many of us start there. I mean, when did you first start writing for HST?
Oh, damn, I don't know, 2008 or 9, maybe?
Yeah.
And then hooked up with Ben, and we did a split chat book together called Double Penetration.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And with the chicken on the front.
A great title, man.
Yeah. Well, I figured, what should we call it? But I figured that was fitting for the press. And then I think we all got our start there pretty much, like maybe a few other places, but HST is pretty much the incubation for everybody. So.
Well, it is a great place. To submit, especially if you're, I think, even if you're, well, not, I mean, you've been around, I mean, how many, I mean, before you were in HST, how many publications had you had? I mean, just guessing, because you have a lot. Your publication list is like a highway, dude. It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. I try to keep we were talking about this with the updating of the personal site and that. It's hard to keep all that stuff updated. I hate editing and any processes like that. I just like writing, right? But so I have some kind of like a spreadsheet thing or some to try to keep track of it, and it's like, I don't know, 50 pages now or something.
Jeez.
But there was a fair bit before HST, but really that was the more serious start, because before that I started submitting to, you know, like when you start it, you don't know what the fuck you're doing, right? So I'm sending stuff to like academic presses and all these places that, of course, you never hear back from them. They probably just throw it right in the trash, right? And it happens so much that eventually you start, accepting rejections as at least they were cool enough to write back.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you get an acceptance, that's great. If you get a rejection, you know, that's cool. At least they wrote back, so that was nice of them. And then most of them you just never hear back from. And then as we go along these days, when you go into more of the underground presses, obviously you hear back more. And
oh, yeah.
That, you connect with other writers and editors and things. So
yeah.
I got it right. I just started backwards, you know.
You
started writing into the academic shit, and it's like, nope.
Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, God, you are in so many places, and you did mention you've done the chat book with Ben. You've done another book with him and Rich Wink. Yeah. The Last Days of a Worm. How was that, man? Doing a book with the three of you. You know.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, I guess we did two books. The first one we did was called Holy Trinity,
mm-hmm.
and we basically split it up into three sections. It was pretty simple. It was just like 10 poems or 15 pages each. So it
yeah.
was pretty normal. And then the next time we had an idea, I guess Ben was into writing more stream of consciousness. So he said, well, for the next one, instead of doing like poetry, what do you say we do a stream of consciousness and I'll just write the first part. And then I wrote the second and Rich wrote the third and we just wrote off each other for like a few weeks.
Yeah.
And we'd write the new section of the book and create characters as we went along. So then you get this, like, fucked up dystopian, you know, thing, which was actually really cool to do. Never done anything like that before. It was, like, three people, you know, just do a new section, new character.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, that had to be really, really different. Either it can be really fun or you can, you know, start, like, kind of getting in the way of each other or whatever. But I mean, obviously it sounds like you had a great experience with that. Well, it's had to be fun because I mean, Ben just, you know, I don't know Ben personally, but I mean, that's where obviously I started. He was still running HST when I first got publication. And I mean, he just seems like an awesome person.
He's a totally cool dude. Great, great writer too. But,
he's
on break
awesome
right now.
Well.
But...
Yeah, I know. I can't believe that. Could you now? Some picture you ever taking a break? I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but seriously, man.
The closest I got was the recent trip to Vegas. Went out there for a week and didn't write a thing. So.
Yeah, you have the book out with Alien Buddha Press, Vegas Poems. You really have a love affair with Vegas, don't you, dude? I mean, seriously.
Oh. Yeah, it's really it's the wife. She loves roulette and. I guess we both like Vegas. She likes roulette, and I like to drink by the pool and fuck around and do nothing, so.
At least you're honest, man. Good God, that sounds like a party, man. I'd love to go. I've never been to Vegas. I would love to go to Vegas.
Oh,
but,
yeah. The one thing that I don't understand there is every time I go there, they leave their police cruisers unattended on the strip. And I got so many pictures now where I'm just walking around with tall cans and you're hanging out with the cop cars and, like, you know, being a total ass. And I can't understand why they just leave their cars sitting there on the strip.
I don't fucking know. I think if they heard I was coming, they wouldn't. Guys, booby the hangover. No wonder somebody could steal one. They're all over the place.
Well, yeah, they're just sitting there. I really wanted to take one for a spin, but...
Yeah, no. You're going to get deported,
figured,
man.
You know, I'd either get deported or worse, I wouldn't be allowed out of the country, so.
Yeah, no, I thought, yeah, maybe the way you should have done it, because probably, you got to go home. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Had a flight on a certain day I wanted to make.
It's like, yeah, can you get me out, like, at so-and-so time? God, man, that is just crazy. I see all your pictures, man. You really do have a blast when you're in Vegas. It's refreshing to see, man.
Yeah, it's just party time there. You just sit there, get tanked, go hang out on the strip, all these interesting things going on. One time we were there was a marathon, like at
mm-hmm.
night, I guess because it's the desert, so you run a marathon at night because it's a little cooler, but make much sense, and everybody's glowing. They're wearing uniforms, like who can outdo each other, so like Batman's running behind somebody who's like wrapped up in Christmas lights, and... There's a live band going on, and they've cut down the strip, and of course, it's all shut down, and they've left the police vehicles unattended again, so of course, I'm hanging out with them, and it's good times.
God. Yeah, I want to party with you, man. I think I'm in some real trouble. You know, Jesus, man. You know, I was reading, man, that you often, not to interrupt you, I'm sorry there, you often don't change the names of the places and people when you write. It kind of gets you in trouble, man. Are people just nervous now to even talk around you, your friends and shit? You're just scared you're going to be put into a story or a poem?
Probably. It's the, you know, it's a thing, right? Be careful what you say. You never know when there's a writer around.
Yeah, exactly. The red light's always on, like I used to always tell my friends. You know,
but obviously I take
for mine.
I know Joyce got in trouble for that too, right? When he was writing
Dubliners
and stuff, he was just using people's real names and the real bars, and everybody was like,
am
I in it?
Although I imagine some people, like, I mean, I don't know if you kind of deal well, you deal with the same crowd, you know, I mean, some people want to see themselves in a story, but then again, I don't know if they really want to see themselves how we see them, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking most of the time you probably don't.
No. But I just wondered if you had any friends that are like, yeah, how come I'm never in a story, Ryan? Jesus Christ.
Nope.
No.
There was one guy from high school, right? And, you know, I guess he had a nickname there from being at a party and some girl, he tried to get with some girl, but he didn't really know girls or something. So, of course, his nickname was Wrong Hole for the rest of the time in high school. So, of course, there's a poem floating around now, Wrong Hole, all about him.
Oh, man. What
and,
a name.
You know, this,
I mean.
Oh, yeah, this is the type of thing I'm talking about, right? It's like, do you really want to be in a poem? No, I'm pretty sure you don't want to be Wrong Hole and be immortalized.
That's fucking great, man. That's what I like you, man. You're just a real dude. God. Yeah, I wouldn't want to. No, you would not be a good person to drink around, dude. I'm serious. See, you're lucky they're not writing about you. See, that's the only thing that's unfair when we're the writer is we don't usually hang around other writers. You imagine it was like a whole group of us hanging out.
Yeah,
it would be like, shit, we'd all have novels by now. On each other.
Well, yeah, maybe that's what gets all the material, right? I've read a few from writers that they've been hanging out with other writers, and they're sitting around drinking, shooting the shit and stuff, and it's funny because when they write about, other cool cats or writers, it's all celebratory and cool, and everybody's, you know, James Dean and hanging out, and then when they write about anyone else, it's all fucked up.
Yeah, they're all jerks and dumbasses, yet when we hang out with the other writers, it's like, oh, my God. Yeah, we paint,
it's like a room full of Marlon Brando's hanging out.
Oh, God, yeah. It's like that, man.
Which may not be an accurate representation, but...
Oh, hell no. Yeah, I know I'm a horse's ass. That's the thing, babe. You could have listened to me when I was sitting here trying to get you. I'm just like, you know, I'm going to have to literally trim off the beginning of this show because people are going to be like, God, what a dumbass. He has a show. It's like, yeah, all you got to do is have the money and you can have one. It's like, Jesus Christ. No, man.
I'm probably the only guy who's less technical than you in the world. I got the landline and I've never had a cell phone. I'm like Bernie Sanders in a 39-year-old body.
You've really never literally owned a cell phone.
Nope.
So many... Yeah, that's funny, man, because, I mean, I thought, well, who the hell cares about them? I mean, people are so obsessed with tech now. They can't do anything without being attached to a computer. I mean, you know, I don't know, man. But then again, you know, it's like you're everywhere all over the place. You do have to have the computer. It does help. It's a lot better than the days when you're sending everything out in manila envelopes and, you know.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. When I started back with the academic stuff, it was all out in envelopes that you'd never hear back. So that was, like, expensive, and it was all to, like, the States and all over the place, right?
Jesus, yeah. I mean, I'm older. I don't – my Facebook age – newsflash, my Facebook age isn't accurate. But, you know, we're all heroes of our own bullshit, you know, like Bukowski was saying.
Yep.
I sent out, God, when I first sent out, like you say, into places that were just like, because you just don't know where you're marketing. You don't know anything.
No,
and
you're
I think,
just flying by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, and it's like I remember sending out to – the funniest one I got was from a little publication I sent to in New York, and they didn't send me a reject. There was no letter. It was a card that the editor signed the back. You know, I guess it's just a stock rejection that they sent to whoever sent – you know, this Looney Tune sent them work that was like – and then now you know your markets and everything. Do you think that's really – I mean, for like young writers to really know your market, know your niche before you start sending out, so to speak.
Yeah, that would be advisable if you want to, you know, save some money.
Yeah. Well, they don't know about that. A lot of them aren't sending out. They're not sending out in the mail literally. They're doing the online submission things nowadays. Once
yeah,
I guess. Great, actually.
Yeah, it's all changed now, right? It's so much easier.
Yeah.
So you can really put them out. But, back in the day, and I got confused worse because I think even before HST probably, like one of the first acceptances was New York Quarterly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Who's like, you know, fairly good, big enough for whatever they think, right, in their market. And so then you get confused again. So then you're like, oh, shit, so somebody does accept it? And then you send out more.
Yeah.
Right, and then of course you find out quickly that was like a one-off or a mistake somebody made.
Yeah, somebody wouldn't pay attention. They kind of let this one slip through. But
yeah,
I've been lucky and had quite a few. I think all my rights are that way. they don't realize. Oh shit! I'll have to start changing my name. I'll be the only person with 1,000 pen names. But
what
yeah,
was
man,
that
you are. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, what was that book poem where he writes about? Getting rejections, but he says that he considers something like an egg, but he's like that they found fatter chickens or the egg didn't get through or something, so he's figuring that whenever he's getting accepted, it's just lucky. It's just somehow it slips through the editors, you know.
Oh, God, you know, nobody said it better than Bukowski, you know. I mean, in reality, I know you're a huge fan of him. I know I'm a huge – I mean, anybody knows that. But, I mean
– he's the man.
He is the man. And you've even been to the grave site, and you said it was hard to find. I mean, is that, like, literally over – I mean, how hard is it to find his hit song?
Yeah, there's no marker. Like, I guess you could go – there was, like, a house at the front there, so it's probably – there's, like, some person, and they could probably help you, but, of course, didn't do that. That'd be the easy thing to do. So we drove around, and it's, like, huge, huge sprawling thing. It's all hills. And there's just numbers on the curbing. So if you know the basic number, you can get the area. But then after that, you literally just have to walk grave to grave up the hills. And it took us like 45 minutes to find it. And which was kind of insane. But when we found it, like I said, there's like literally no marker. Very understated. There was no beer bottles, no cigarette butts. It was all cleaned up. And it was really cool when we got there, but it took a while to get there.
Well, you gotta be that's a right in itself, man. I mean, just to go there and to have to find it, you know, it's kind of funny. I think he would get a laugh out of that one because he always had a great sense of humor.
That's the thing people lose about him, right? They always act like it's so serious and this and that. And it's like, no, man, he's always fucking around. He's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah,
it's
understated
a lot of the time, but.
I do think, I mean, I don't know if you agree on this one, but a lot of people do miss the nuances there, the sense of humor, the and really the artistry to it. You know, a lot of people take him as crude or harsh or whatever. I mean, he just spoke his mind. I don't really think there's anything crude about speaking your mind. Maybe sometimes he didn't, I don't know. To me, it's perfect. I've read him and just like, you know, because you read the poetry, you read his novels, and it's just incredible. He just could hit it out of the park every damn fucking time. And that's fucking amazing, really.
I guess they're mad he doesn't write like
writers?
A grammar or something, right?
Who are some of the other writers, man, that you really influenced you and got you moving towards the page, so to speak?
Fanti, of course, through Book. And because Ask the Dust is amazing. It's like when you're hearing it, it can put you in a trance, right? The way he's doing that with it, repeating dust over and over again and some of the great lines in there. And his conversations with Camille are actually hilarious. I liked Basho's funnily enough, I like Basho's haikus.
Yeah.
Because they're like lessons in economy of verse on how much you could actually say in three lines. So
yeah, that's,
I thought that was
never
really
read a
cool.
haiku ever in my life, man. That's just,
yeah,
I'm too lame.
I don't know how to write it and or anything, but I like his. So I go, yeah, you're the master of that. I have no fucking idea. What is it, 575 or whatever it is in syllables? I don't know. But
Yeah, that's
beautiful to
just
read.
insane. Yeah, it is. It's a true art form.
A lot of the other ones that we know, you know, Dostoevsky and.
Yeah.
I actually like The Gambler. I guess it's a little-known book of his, but he was, you know, he had to write some books to pay off the creditors because he had a roulette problem himself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, a writer with any kind of issues? I mean, the hell you say?
Yeah.
Drinking and gambling and living life too fast? I mean, that's so rare. I mean, how many writers have went over the edge? It's like, you know, I don't know. Do you think you really have to live your writing to make it good, or can you kind of use, you know, creative license, you think?
Well, you can use some artistic license, but it has to, I think it's always best when it comes from a place that's real. I mean, people can tell when they read it, I think. I can,
yeah.
You know. That's why I like the stuff that, you know, Stephen does, Stephen Story, and you, and
well, thank you.
Certain writers, Brenton Booth in Australia, Ben, stuff like that. You can just tell when it's real, right, that people lived it.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's always good, too, when they don't forget the humor, you know. And also,
yeah,
don't forget, artistic license is great because,
yeah.
You know, boo, hero of your shit, right? Just sprinkle
mm-hmm.
in some artistic license and, you know, jack that shit up.
you do, man. You kick ass on a lot of fucking levels. And the thing is, it is real with you. And that's what I do admire, and what I admire Steven as well. And of course, Ben, like I said, that's like that, you know, that grouping of people that I really, 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 when I read you all, it was like, because I just walked away from it for a long time. I was writing, but, you know, I wasn't sending it out. I wasn't, because, I mean, I was, hell, like I said, I had published in 2005 and then just quit because it was just,
yeah.
It was shit, man. You know, sometimes I think you have to kind of let the, or at least for me, I had to let life season it a little bit, you know, because it wasn't there. It was okay. It was mediocre. If you want to do that, that's fine. But
that's
I just
not where
I,
you want to be, right?
No, I don't think anybody does. To be honest,
and that's what Book suggested too. What you did there, right? When it's not ready, and what you were saying with your first book too, where if it's not ready, you gotta you know, go get some life, go get some daggers put in you, and you know.
Oh yeah. Definitely, man.
Let life life has a funny way of kicking the shit out of you, and then that will really fatten up your writing.
Well, it will, man. But I mean, you know, you're published so many places, man. Is there any place you're not published? Because I always find it funny. If I go somewhere and submit somewhere, I think, man, this is a new magazine. I think, well, Ryan's already here. It's there's no, you got the biggest shadow of any writer I know.
Yeah,
and I mean as a compliment, man. It's like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ, I can't find anywhere you're not at.
I guess that's a good thing. I just keep sending out as much as I can, right? Like I said, it's a lot easier nowadays, right? With all the just the submission manager and all the sites, and it's not like it used to be where you know personally put all the letters together and
that
shit.
Yeah, I know. I had done it, probably not to the degree you did, but it was a pain in the ass, and it was I'll be honest, it was nose, mainly. It was just, and, you know, rightfully so. Sometimes we forget it's not up to par, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with admitting that, but mine wasn't, you know, and because I didn't know my market at all. I was just, like, sending out, like you said, I was sending out to magazines that were, like, out of my head. It'd be like going into a Starbucks and ordering a martini, you know?
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense, man.
Can I get
a
pizza from Red Lobster, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know what you're doing.
No, man. Do you ever get – this is a goofy question, but, man, I mean, you know what you were getting into when you got on the show. So, but do you ever get, like – I mean, because you've got a lot of readers, man. And rightfully so, but do you ever get some that ever writes you that are just kind of, you know, a little bit off, you know what I mean? Like, are you just generally all cool people?
Oh no, you get yeah, mostly cool people. Like I said, you meet a lot of the, I know we probably know all the same people. A lot of cool editors, writers, and all that. But oh yeah, you'll get
Yeah.
some crazy there's some crazy fuckers out there.
Come on, man. We're not naming names. Any good stories, man, if somebody just writes you with just some off the wall? Because I've had one that wrote me that was like, I think I got it, because it's I don't block people or any of that stuff. But somebody who wrote me who thought he had wrote the greatest thing ever, and it was 5 in the morning, and he sent it along. I'm not shitting you, with a karaoke video. Because I mean, I don't know what great poem isn't followed by your rendition of Down with the Sickness, but
That's how you start off. That's how you get your word out there. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
yeah, but
N-
you
never had
have
a
anybody like
karaoke
that?
video.
Never
Well,
oh man.
I had one guy. Again, it's early in the morning, right? They seem to be up between it's the witching hour or something. They
Yes,
go
that's true.
crazy at full
Absolutely.
moons or something. But had one guy. It was a poem, I guess, and it was a. About walking with her down near a car place, and she was talking about how dirty the mechanics were or something like that, and of course I realized that in all my shitty jobs, I am the mechanic, I've done that, right?
Yeah.
And then you're sitting there and I'm thinking, well, she's a bitch. I don't want to touch
yeah.
her or be near her because she's so shallow, right? And that was the point of the poem.
Yeah.
But I get this guy like 3 in the morning, and he's like he's like, oh, fuck her, man. She's such a bitch. And this, I hope you fucked her over good. And I'm like, what? I don't think you got the point of the poem, man. I didn't want to touch her after that, And it wasn't about that. But this guy was just, he was going on and on about, I don't know, man. Maybe he's in a prison now.
Wow. Such a great audience.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
it is weird.
It's
yeah,
the Iggy and the Stooges, right? Iggy said that the Stooges' music, they asked him, who's your market? And he said they cornered the market on fucked up Vietnam vets coming back all drugged up.
Oh, yeah.
But,
Iggy's the
but
man.
That's our market. We got the Vietnam vets who are all messed up because of war and fucked up on drugs.
Yeah, all the crazy ones.
Yeah.
That's the best audience to have, right?
But, oh, yeah, of course.
It's like you find that happens a lot, though, that you put something out. I mean, we know what it, you never, to me, you put it right out and people take it any way they want. It becomes theirs to a degree. But that people kind of miss the mark a lot on what you're trying to do. Maybe it's humor and they don't get that it's just meant to be humor or,
oh, yeah.
Such like
all
that.
All the time. I think people, they bring their own shit to it, right? And that's what messes it up. Instead of just reading it and realizing, enjoying it for what it is. People always bring their own baggage and their own shit to it, and that's what messes things up. I had another one, right? And I guess he'd always write and he'd talk about the revolution, right? The revolution that was coming. So, of course, he's a poem now.
Yeah.
As happens. But
he'd
always send these things, and it's about, oh yeah, we got to be the forerunners of the revolution, and I'm sitting there thinking, what the fucking revolution are you talking about, man? I'm sitting here and I'm like waiting for the mailman, and I'm kind of pissed off because he's always like an hour late.
Yeah.
And and later I got to go grocery shopping, so I'm pretty sure that I don't see a revolution coming. But yeah, this guy always with the fucking revolution.
Yeah, you're too busy living in the real world. I think people, some people, they reach you and they don't get it. They think they connect with you, and it's like it's just a right. It's not that deep, And I mean, I'm not saying the right or definitely your work's great, man. But I mean, just sometimes you can write something and people just, they take it the wrong way and they run with the crazy train in the opposite direction, man.
Well, sometimes it's in directions you haven't even thought of. It's just...
No, yeah.
But like I said...
Sorry, what did you say?
As I say, most of the people you meet are actually, they're really cool, and there are a lot of the editors and writers and stuff like that. But yeah, there's a few out there. You go, wow, you came out of the woodwork. It's like a spider coming out of the wall, right?
You met a crazy editor. I can't believe most editors, I can't say. I've never really met anybody that was, like, off the wall, just kind of, well, like, the coolest, I would say, and didn't meet him, but it was one of the first guys when I started submitting him, was the Ben, and he was just the nicest person.
Awesome.
I don't think prepared you for the rest of them, because Ben is just, there's just no way to describe how cool that guy is, because I really admire Ben, and your work in Stevens, but Ben was just fucking, I think most people can get spoiled having Ben as an editor, you know?
Yeah, that's not an accurate representation of what is going to come.
No, I dealt with some that are, yeah. Have you ever had any that were just, you know, just a real pain in the ass to deal with? I mean, we're not talking names, but, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah, you get some there where it's, you know, like you said, it's the crazy pain in the ass. You get some that are behind on things. Then you get some that are, like, totally top shelf professional. You know, they're all over the place, but you just got to find the right ones. Hopefully the few that you can work with really good and have a good working relationship with, and hopefully work with them and not work with the other ones, right?
Yeah.
Well, I always think editors are kind of crazy anyway, though, because, like, I hate editing. So anybody who wants to edit, you know, I always think, oh, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? Because I love writing, but as soon as it gets to the editing phase, man, I'd rather poke my eyes out with, like, a hot knife.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not. Anybody can even read anything. Like, you don't really care much for editing. No.
No.
You're right. You're completely right.
And I'm not even, like, changing anything. I don't even do any, like, real edits. I just write it, and that's the way it is, and you move on. I'm just doing spelling and grammar. But it just bugs the shit out of me.
Oh, God, man. We won't see Ryan Quinn Flanagan becoming an editor of a magazine anytime soon.
Nope.
No, come on, man. You can deal with all the crazy people. It's like, you know, not only just the crazy readers, you can have the crazy writers who are wondering why you smite them so.
You want to corner all the markets, right?
Yeah, you can really drive yourself totally insane. You'll be wanting to go to Vegas every other week.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. You need the vacations after that for the downtime, especially with the weather here, right? But,
oh, God, yeah.
At one point, I actually had a nervous breakdown finally, right? Just because you do this shit, right? And so I spent 3 stints in the madhouse. But
really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And people go again. They go, oh, man, that must be great for writing material. It's like, no, it was fucking awful. It's depressing. It's like one of the saddest places in the world. So if that's not good at all. It's like the Dylan thing, right, when he put out Blood on the Tracks. And his comment was he didn't understand people enjoying that type of pain, you know?
Yeah, because that was such a deeply, like, personal record.
Nothing good comes from a place like that, but people romanticize that like they probably do with, like, prison, too, right? It's like, oh, go to jail. It's like, well, why don't
you? Yeah, there's no romanticizing that place.
Right.
You know that place.
Oh, that must be great for, oh, yeah, okay, well, you try it.
Yeah, it's great for lifting weights. You can join a gym. A lot cheaper, is what I'm saying.
Yep. You'll save yourself a lot of headaches. Just get a gym membership.
Yeah, it's like, where'd you learn to fight? In prison? Okay, I'm not messing with you. But no, man. I mean, you know, writing, that's another thing, man, is it can burn you out. I mean, how do you, I think, well, obviously it's a dumb question, but think who's asking it. You know, how do you keep yourself from kind of burnout, man, because you are, like I said, you are one of the most prolific people that I know.
Yeah.
And that's truthful.
Strategic downtime, like the Vegas vacations, the missus is actually good with that. She organizes the trips so that there's not too much burnout. And the other is meds.
Plenty of available drugs, right?
Yeah. Got a few antidepressants and anti-anxieties, and mix that with the bottle, and you're doing okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, favorite drink, man? I have to ask. Because I'm a drinker. I know that's a shock.
Yeah. it's different because when I write, I always drink.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's when you're writing, it's only red wine or beer.
Okay.
Because I've tried with, like, whiskey or things, and, of course, you get totally bombed, and you're, like, in an hour, and that's not very creative.
Well, I know, but, you know, Ryan,
work,
it just takes a lot more practice, my friend. That's all I can tell you. I'm a whiskey drinker, you know.
I was just going to say, sitting around is different, right? Sitting around, you put
yeah.
on some good tunes and listen to the rain, then you have the whiskey or you have the rum and
and
Coke, so I have some tequila. I like tequila a lot.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you are a tequila fan, man. You are you like one of the wildest of the liquors. So,
yep.
So I can't imagine. Imagine somebody riding on tequila. That would be some interesting stuff.
Yeah, we make sure we're not riding when we're on the tequila.
Yeah, no, I love tequila too, but no, I couldn't. No,
that'll
man,
probably
no,
be the
like...
the one that finally gets me in the police cruiser driving down the strip.
No, that'd be cool. You gotta see nowadays. See, but then some people I know don't. It's probably a good thing not having a cell phone, man. You can incriminate yourself way too much. Because the next thing you know, you have like a video up of you driving the police cruiser.
Well, yeah, that always gets me when the people upload the videos. It's like, well, you gave them the evidence. That's good.
Yeah, I know. Kids nowadays are not that bright, man. And
that's
going to piss off a lot of young writers. No, don't have everything in your personal life online, you know, man. Do you have to have that buffer, like, between, you know, your personal and your private life and your writing? Because, I mean, you're all over the place, man. You're putting yourself out there a lot.
Yeah,
so
it's hard. Like, I'm pretty good about it online, like just Facebook or social media. That then, you know, pretty good filter like that. But really, when I'm writing, I have no filter. So, you know, it's real places, real names, real people, real situations with myself.
Yeah.
Most of all, you know, you never ridicule anybody more than yourself.
That's true.
That's a sign of a good writer. You always, the humor is directed mostly at yourself, but.
Yeah.
Like I did one the other day. It was about when we got back from Vegas. I guess some kid touched me out near the pool. And I guess they have like foot, hand, and mouth disease or something. I don't know what it is. But you get this rash. And I had seen people talking about it at one of the casinos. Don't go near this pool. The kids are there. And you get this disease. So came back and I had these like spots all over my legs. And I'm sitting there going, oh, you fucking kid. Right? Actually yelled at the kid.
Yeah.
Like some crazy man by the pool. I was
sitting
there with my tall can and yelling at some kid. But so I got this rash, and so I had to use like an antifungal cream that
God.
I guess, you know, women use for certain areas.
Oh. Okay.
And so I'm sitting there rubbing that on my legs every day after a shower, and of course then the cream has to work in, so... The missus gets home from work or whatever, and she comes upstairs, and I'm in the kitchen making a salad for dinner. But, of course, I have no pants on because I'm letting the cream go in. So I'm sitting there making a pantless salad for dinner, and she almost falls down the stairs laughing. Of course, she's like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, well, I have to have the cream. You know, I got to have the fungal cream work because of the damn kid.
Yeah,
so
that's true,
now it's a poem up there today, pantless salad, you know. So I have no filter, just the...
That is great, man.
Yeah.
I was real
went to Vegas and got a
kid.
Disease, and it's not from a stripper or anything. It's from a kid.
And yeah, it's kind of like, man, I'd have to lie about that one. Of course, I don't think I'd have to lie about that one. Mine would probably come from, somewhere else. I was real big fan of
the other ones,
kids, man.
The other ones want it to be from the pool. You know, it's not from something else.
Yeah, most people go to Vegas and they get in trouble in different ways. But, hey, man, you're having a good time. You're married, so, you know, a little bit different.
Yeah.
You have the safer experience, I think, in Vegas than some people have. You know,
well, yeah, the strippers run everything there. That's the problem. The slappers are out on the strip. I don't know if you ever heard of them, the slappers. They slap the cards in their hands to try to get your attention, and then they hand over the hookers' cards.
Yeah, get you in the clubs, yeah.
Yeah, well, these are actually for the hookers. So you just call the number, and the hookers show up at your hotel room, right? But,
oh, my God, I've got to go to Vegas, man. Not for that, but, you know.
Oh yeah, no, Ben said the same thing. He keeps laughing because every letter I send him, I just fill it with all the hookers cards. So
Oh,
like
man.
the first letter is like, "Are these really real hookers?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, of course. They're not wasting their time being fake hookers." And
No, that's an act.
yeah. So every letter I send him, there's a new stack of hookers, numbers, and cards.
It's so
But
awesome, man.
oh yeah, yeah, Vegas is crazy. But you can't go to the strip clubs though, unless you got like, I mean, they expect like $100 tips, and the strippers run everything there. It's insane. You gotta be rich to go there. So
Yeah, no.
really,
Well,
it's
I don't
hang
have to
by the
worry about
pool
going
and get
there
a.
anytime soon.
No, it's hang by the pool and get a kid disease, or get the slapper to
Yeah.
give you a card so you can call up a hooker, I guess. I don't
Oh,
know.
nice. Yeah, I've always heard it was pretty decent to drink there. I mean, price wise, because they went to gambling, really. So, you know, I
Yeah.
don't know if it's true. You know, so that's what I'm asking.
Well, yeah, I could tell you the cheapest price you'll get is at the Arco gas station across from the Luxor Hotel. You can get two tall cans for $4.
Oh man.
And that's right on the strip. Yeah.
Well, it's good. This is what do you have a really known great poet on your show for? So he can tell me where I can buy affordable alcohol when in Vegas.
Yep.
That's
There's plenty.
it's so good. This is so professional, man. You know, I
Oh
did have
yeah.
to wonder, man, why you agree to show, but I'm glad you are on the show, man. But I need to ask some writing questions and in general. I tell you one thing I can't stand doing, and it's just me, but I cannot stand reading. Are you a fan of doing readings or not?
Oh no. No, I did one, I think, a year ago over Skype, my first time ever Skyping as well, of course,
Yes.
because I'm, you know, the 300-year-old man, Bernie Sanders, trapped inside the body. So,
Oh,
yeah, did a Skype thing, and I guess that went
yeah.
all right. But before that, I think I haven't read in public in over 10, maybe 12 years.
Man,
So,
it makes you in high demand, man, because it's rare. You're not
yeah.
going to get a reading from you. God, I
Yeah.
thought I was bad.
Oh yeah, I hate reading, but I'm like a hermit anyway. I just like to be home and write if I can, right? And
Yeah.
like Stephen was saying, right, where you an hour doesn't really work. It's when you can get those cool chunks of time in a day.
Yeah.
Like for me too, because I'm gonna be pretty useless when I'm done, because I'm drinking when I'm writing, right? So by the time it's basically a magnum or two for a writing period, and so by the time you're done, like I've fallen down the stairs 4 times now. But once carrying a fan, so that wasn't good. But
Yeah, no.
so you're not really in much of a state to go out and or do anything else afterwards. But
that's yeah.
So, but those are the best days when you have that like a full day to just sit and write.
Yeah.
Other times you don't, so you have a few hours, so that's a chunk of time. But
yeah.
You know, that's and the bad weather here, make sure that you have plenty of time to do that. But yeah, hate readings. Other people are good at them and doing them. I just
yeah,
it comes off awkward as shit. And
I guess
I like
I guess
writing
I'm
for
wrong.
writing, you know.
Yeah, my whole thing is, I don't know, and like you said, I don't ever mean. I really, honestly, never mean to insult anybody. I just don't have, you know, talk about not having a filter. I definitely don't have one. But
yeah.
To me, some of the best writers are not the best readers, you know, because I'm more caught up in doing what I do on the page and then let you have it, interpret any way you want and connect that way. I don't want to
Exactly.
have to read it to you. You know, I just, there's
Yeah.
something lost. When you, I know Bukowski didn't like reading. I mean,
yeah.
And that's notorious that he
well,
couldn't
yeah,
stand
yeah.
it.
He'd be so nervous before it, he was puking in between cars.
Yeah. I just couldn't. I would probably be just as bad because I think I got a longer streak on not doing readings, except for like, you know, like things that are sent in, like I did for like a 5-2 and stuff like that. That
Yeah.
were it's a reading, but you know, that's easy. When I can just tape it, that's fine. As long as there's no
Yeah.
people there, you know, that's always preferable,
Yeah, yeah.
man.
Once you get the crowd or people around, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your social anxieties and crap start coming in, and you know, a whole bunch of stuff like that. But no, like I see some out there and they do readings and they're actually really good at it. Like they're entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
They're good entertainers. And
yeah.
That's just not me at all. That's not what I want to do. Or
no.
You know, they're good at it. But like you said, I have the same approach you do. I'd like to write it and then you can read it if you want or
mm-hmm.
don't. But
yeah.
You know, I don't want to have to read it to you. I'm not a reader. I'm a writer. You know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you have to be a great reader to be a great writer. I don't think, you know, I don't think it necessarily goes hand in hand. There's some people that are better salesmen than others. You know, there's some people that are, because writing is part being a salesman. That's what I don't, the only part I don't like, you know, but I mean, you know, Jesus Christ, because you're always pushing, you're always hustling your work. But when it comes to readings, no, not me.
That's the bad side of it for sure. And I falter on that side too, where it's like, oh, salesman time. It's like, well, I'm not very good at selling myself. I'll sell some other people. I'll tell you about some cool writers. It's like, you know.
Yeah. God, man, I would think it's the opposite, man. You, I mean, how much do you send out a day? Do you have a time where you get up and then you send out work, or do you send out work after it's done, or how do you work like that?
It usually, if I have a day or two set aside to do that, to do submissions, because I treat it totally different. Like I call it administrative stuff. You know, it's like a job,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it's totally different than writing. The writing days, I just want to write and, you know, fuck around, be as free as possible. And then the other stuff is, you know, look at it later, editing days, of course, horrible. And then the submission days. So they all have their separate things. But, for sending stuff out, it's like that is, and it's a slow process because, you know, the writing goes pretty good. It goes fast. Like you can do, if you just say you sat for like an 8-hour period, you can do like 25 poems.
Mm-hmm.
But, the sending them out is then you're starting, you know, got to find the places, spell check, and do all these things.
Yeah,
it's
a pain in the ass. It really is. I mean, I'm one of those that I'll do a lot of writing. It's the only thing I do have if I have nothing but time. So it's like I do a lot. It's like, you know, just like you're doing, man. You know, we have our time for when we write, but on like the, when I'm going to be sending work out, I don't mind doing it. And now I'm finding more and more, knock on wood. It's just, it's probably my least favorite time. The writing is never hard. It's the rest of the, you know, crap that goes along with it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what Book was saying, right? Like we were telling you, you know, it's not writing, it's not supposed to be the lonely, depressive thing. He's like, no, writing's enjoyable. You sit and do it, and that's a good time, you know? And I've been pretty good with submissions lately. I've gotten better with sending stuff out, obviously, but because they've made it easier with the computer. But when it comes, when it comes to the editing, man, those days, that's just like when you know you have to do it, you just get up and you go, you know what, I think I'll take an extra shift. I'd rather work than edit.
Well, man, Jesus, you've done a lot of things, man. Because I know I was, you know, I was in the construction and shit like that. I've done some other things, bouncing and stuff like that. But you really think that helps? I mean, I do. I think, you know, every kind of experience you get with life helps, and the more experience you have, the better it is.
Yeah, for sure. And as long as you don't let it kill you, right? Like that's the thing in the process, because. You know, it's so depressing to do these things, and you realize the hours of your life are being eaten away. But if you can keep some kind of humor about it, because some ridiculous things really happen, right? Like I worked in a box factory, like literally making assembling boxes with a tape gun, right?
Uh-huh.
Armies of boxes for things to go in, and then when there'd be nothing to do, the foreman would get you to assemble the boxes all morning, and then after lunch he'd have you disassemble the same boxes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that type of mind-numbing, you know, realizing that your life is actually nothing. I worked construction like you, roofing, did a sheet metal, drove truck.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of shit jobs, of course. One of the interesting ones, I worked on a TV show. That was
really?
I was a camera and lighting assistant, or a grip.
Yeah, a grip,
Yeah, on this this fucked up show. You know, it had a really big market, about as big as us, I'm sure. It was a fucking sock puppet that smoked a cigar, and it was on late at night. And I guess it was run by the guy who had his sock puppet on his hand, called Ed the Sock, and
okay,
and his wife was his co-host, and then her friends were in bikinis between the commercial breaks, dancing you in and out, and they'd have porn stars on and guests in the hot tubs.
Seriously,
so,
man. That's a book in itself, man. I'm jealous of that one. That's just, you couldn't make that kind of shit up. I mean.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. And somewhere out there, there's an episode of a 19-year-old me. I guess they notice I came to work with some hickeys or something. And so the sock starts attacking me and berating me for the hickeys behind the cameras. So somewhere on one of these episodes, there's 19-year-old me arguing with a fucking sock puppet. So.
Odd, man. That is classic, man. See, not everybody's going to ask you those questions. I've read some interviews.
Nope.
In fact, I read a lot of interviews, especially crammed last night, but people wouldn't think that. As fucking crazy as I am, couldn't even get you on the phone. But, you know, that's my – don't blame Ryan on that. Blame me, because I was like, Jesus. It was amazing I just didn't go into a cussing tirade. That's me. I am not, you know – the person on the page is pretty much the person in real life. There's not like – it's not like an act, you know. I know, definitely, I feel like when we read you, that's you 100%, man. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of BS, man. I think that's with the best writing. It's never BS. A little bit,
well,
maybe, but not, you know, much.
Yeah, you just sprinkle in the artistic license to get it up there, but it should always come from a real place, pretty much. And,
yeah,
you know, that was the thing. I was happy I won the argument with the sock because, you know, small victories, you won against a sock, but a smoking sock. But
a smoking sock.
Oh, yeah. Because I think even for late-night TV, it was too much, because I guess he was bugging me about the things and on me. So I said, oh, I got other hickeys in other places in there. You want to see them? And, and that was even too bad for late night, so we ended that conversation.
Oh, man.
So,
you're
well,
classic,
I won against
man.
The sock. But, yeah, just a whole bunch of, you know, everybody does a whole bunch of shitty jobs. Like, I did a lot of grocery stores, you know, stock boy.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Atypical stuff, man. I used to always get in trouble when I was, you know, because I don't know how everybody is. Like I said, I'm definitely not no expert on anything. But I spent so much time in my own head, it used to always piss my bosses off, because it always is the same thing. You always act like you want to be anywhere but here. And then, of course, you know, you get fed up with shit, and I'm a mouthy person anyway. So you say, well, it's like, you know, I do. It's just not my, you know, I think when it comes to the people definitely like us, it's just, you know, that's what we were meant to do, is put words to that page. And anything that I'm not doing that isn't that drives me kind of crazy, you know.
Oh, yeah,
but
it's soul crushing to do some of that stuff, right? And that's the thing, you got to try to keep your, and I guess the one way to do it, like you were doing there, is just kind of tune out, you know. Be in your own head, because it's like a defense mechanism, right? Because otherwise, if you're just stuck with the full, you know, numbness of what that is. I was like that with a bookbinder. I had this bookbindery job, and watching those fucking machines just going over and putting together those crappy magazines that they sell.
Oh, God.
And,
yeah.
And it was just like hypnotizing. And like I said, you'd seriously, like you were doing, just have to go into your own head and just be somewhere else. And they didn't even really care anyway, because they were paying you less than minimum wage. And you called in sick, they didn't care. Half the people, they call in sick. When I was roofing, too, they'd call in sick because they were in jail for the weekend. And
that's normal.
With some newfies, they were crazy. The newfies are the craziest roofers. One guy bit a guy's nose off in a bar, so he couldn't come into work. And
oh, wow.
You know,
I bet he was crazy. Just like, you don't get employee of the month in construction.
No. No employees of the month.
No, because I framed houses, and I mean, it was just, I don't know, man. It was an interesting group of guys. That's probably, you know, where my whole mentality still is, you know, kind of like, you know, I write for the boys, that's the way it is. But yet, the people I know, would never read what I wrote, man. And I did read that you said your family supported your work, or do they even read your work? I mean, or is that, am I completely wrong there?
No, my family doesn't. I'm estranged from most of them, but the ones that I'm not, they don't read any of it, which is probably good because there's ones about them too, and you know.
Well, they would see themselves real quick.
Yep. And
oh my God.
But yeah, the same thing, guys that I was working with. You're working on job sites and stuff. They're obviously never going to read any of that stuff. I mean, they don't read.
But
that's fine. But
you
just hang and drink with them, you know, and that's cool. And
much rather do that a lot of time
anyway.
Yeah, I mean, because you definitely don't mind a drink. I know I don't. You know, I think I it's weird, but I'm always drawn towards, you know, writers that are kind of, I would say, like minded, because I just can't imagine not having a cocktail at the end of the evening or something like that. I just, you know, it's just I think it goes hand in hand. Really, I mean, I'm not saying you have to drink to write, but, you know, it doesn't hurt.
Nope. Yep, same thing. You know, you do those crappy jobs, you get the worldly experience. It hurts you in other ways, but it doesn't hurt you with your writing.
No.
The drinking definitely doesn't hurt. You know, it helps to a degree.
Yeah.
Once you pass that point, right? There's the point where you start, where you grease the wheels, right? So you start and...
Yeah.
They're not greased enough. Then you get in that zone where it's greased and everything's cool. And then the slobbery part where there's no more. You've gone too far.
Yeah. I need to rephrase that. I don't want to be like, all these kids, you just need to become an alcoholic. No. We're talking. It's a big difference between alcoholism and it's when you're putting down the page and picking up the bottle and, you know, not worrying about the page. That's when you've got a real fucking problem. Because, obviously, if it's part of your process, because obviously you're not like...
Page always comes first, work comes
first,
and you take it seriously. That's the thing, right? You can fuck off in every other aspect of your life and goof around, but, the serious writers, you and Steven, and you take your writing seriously. That's the thing, right? And they miss that. People think it's too much. Oh, it's the drinking, it's this and that. Well, no. It's first and foremost, you get the word down and you get it as best you can, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always, that's the thing with you. I mean, with you especially, man, you are fucking a total fucking professional to me, man. You hit it out of the park all the damn time. Do you ever have just write? Sometimes you read like, God, that's total shit, man. Because I can't imagine that one.
Oh, yeah.
You just seem to hit it consistently, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You read those ones and you just go, "What the fuck, man?" a fucking 4-year-old retarded kid could write this, man. What the fuck are you doing?
I've had a couple where you're getting a little too much inspiration. Or known as, a couple, a little too many drinks, and you think you write some epic thing, you go back and you look at it like, first you need a decoder ring to understand it, then second up you think, it was just in the euphoria of the buzz. That's really shit, and I've already done that anyway.
That's the greatest poem ever, and that's when you've gone too far beyond the zone and you're in the slobbery effect. And then, what is it like the... I think Book said like the 24th poem of the night is hardly ever the best one, You've gone too far, and really that's just closing out the night for what you're doing. But when you read it, you're probably going to sit there and shake your head and go, man, what the fuck?
It's not. I think anytime you start thinking, I mean, don't you think, man, you can get, I mean, not you or not, I mean, it's lucky. The people I've dealt with, like with you and have had Steven on here, y'all are not caught up in your own bullshit, but there are a lot of writers that are. It's easy to recognize. And, that couldn't be a trap when people are, because, hell, man, you have a big audience, man. I'm always impressed when, you got good numbers, man. And is it hard sometimes, not to just kind of listen to all the slaps on the back and kind of get full of yourself?
No, not at all, because... The sales aren't there, so that makes it easy. You sit there and you go, hey, cool, man, I sold like 2 books. And you go, oh, I must be master of the fucking universe.
Yeah,
nope.
Wow.
Oh, and by the
I
way,
think
when
I
I'm done, I have to unload the dishwasher and, you know.
Yeah.
So you sit there.
I think
like
the
I
good
said.
Thing about our genre, man, is that people
Yeah.
just, we stay, you know. It's like if you look at, like if you compare it to, you know, when you're in poetry, it's kind of like being in punk rock, you know. Of the bands, instead of having the VIP area, they just get off the stage and go to the bar. You know, it's
Yep.
a good way to stay humble, man, because it's,
Oh,
you
yeah,
know, because I mean,
exactly.
shit, you
You
know,
take your
and I think
lumps
that's
and,
key to it.
oh, that's the best way. Like you said, it is a trap. It's the most dangerous thing when you see those writers that are all, I don't know how you're high on yourself if you're writing, like, poetry or what they think's going to happen. Maybe they've been talking to the revolution guy and they think they're heading the revolution. I don't know. But, I mean, like, I don't know how you can't stay humble, have your head about you. If you've actually lived this life or worked the jobs, you know, you stay humble and, you know, it beat you down pretty good, but you stay above it and you use humor and stay humble. But that is a trap. You see some of those writers there and when you see some of the writing, because it comes out bad then because of that, you sit there and go, what the fuck are you doing, you know? Because that's not life. That's not real. Most people don't live like that or think like that or exist like that at all.
No. But there are plenty of people that get caught up with it, man. But it's really great to talk to somebody who, especially, man, the way you've been kicking ass and that you're such a cool person, man. And also not losing it when I kept calling you and there's, like, nobody on the other end of the line. But that was my fault, so I apologize for that.
Oh, it's no problem. You can let me practice my Pink Floyd. Anybody out there? And just play around with the phone a bit.
We could have came in halfway where, like, you're singing. It'd be like, wow, this is the weirdest show that's ever been on for writers. And, you know, people didn't
this
get
is
why
how
I
you
do it
do it
anyway.
as a professional.
Yeah, this is professional shit. Y'all need to listen to this, kid. You need
Just
to drink
start
all the
singing out.
time and write. You know.
But no,
But
that's the
yeah,
main
man.
thing. It's just write, you know, live what you write and then get the word down as best you can and stay humble and be real. Be as real as you can, because the readership will know. And, you know, like I said, that's why I like guys like Brenton Booth, Stephen Story, you, of course, and Ben, Matt Borkson, if you know him, and Kevin Peary, different guys like that. You just write
period,
real
man.
shit, right? People know.
Yeah. Well, I think it always, it's just, you can't mask what's real and the people that are genuine. It just comes across. It's just, you know, it's like, you know, it's like people pretending to be cool and people who actually are. It's just not it's not an act. It just comes off real. And of course it does with you. It comes up with all these other great writers. Like I said, Ben, definitely. I mean, I can't believe he's taken away this, he's went away for this time, but, you know, I mean, God, man, if I was writing like him, I'd never be away from the page. You guys are consistent. I'm, you know, I'm all over the place, but I do write consistently, just consistent crap.
Well, that's the thing, though, right? Is to just continue writing. That's the main thing. That's what you do, right?
You get through it.
Like with Ben, I always wondered. It was like, man, how are you writing all the time? Because you live in Australia. You're living in this, like, beautiful weather. I'm like, man, I'd be down at the fucking beach with tall cans, and I wouldn't be writing anything. You know, at least I'm here where it's, like, all depressed and 7 months of the year is winter, so I have plenty of time to write. But man, if I was living there, I'd be, like, fucking suntanning and.
Well, you know, I mean, I live in a good, pretty decent climate place, man. I mean, I live on an actual island. They always think I'm joking with them. North Island, North Carolina is 5 miles long. I always say, if you think your small town sucks, live on a fucking island. You know, this is a real fucking island, and it's, let's just say I'm not surrounded by like-minded people. And it's easy to kind of just, I was, like, introverted to a degree, so I just kind of locked myself away, and that's the way I am. I'm usually in the bar, and, you know, my own bar, but I'm usually locked in the bar, and that's how I write, you know. It's like Bukowski's wet dream. It's like, I can be in the bar 24.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way as you, just natural introvert and small town now, got away from the city, which actually helped. And then,
yeah,
like I said, I'm just surrounded by, you know, it's not the U.S., it's Canada, but this is basically redneck north. This is like Texas, but in the north. So it's all hunters and fishermen, and
it's Texas
everybody's
with
got,
snow.
yeah, exactly. Everybody's skinning bears in their garages and
Jesus.
posting the pictures to Facebook. Or one of them
Yeah.
was skinning a deer with two ATVs running in different directions. You know, it's these type of people.
Oh.
So
Yeah, not my.
you
I
just
mean,
hide
nothing.
away and.
Yeah, I'm not knocking people like that. Just, you know, it's not my. It's the same crowd here, mainly hunters and stuff like
Yeah.
that. Not bear. We don't have bear, thank God, because, you
Yeah.
know, that was.
Well, we got crazy bear here because we just built right into the forest. So the bears, we have bear bangers. The cops, that's their biggest thing is they get called out and they have to shoot bear bangers off to chase them back into the forest because they just walk down the streets here.
Yeah, which is
Like
like a,
I had a
just like
bear.
a cannon or something. I mean, just it's obvious. Like I don't know what that is, obviously. So I'm going to ask just for people who don't know what a bear banger is.
Yeah,
You
it's like
know.
a sudden shot, like a gunshot, but louder. So, like, when we first
Oh.
moved here, I didn't know what it was either because I was from the city. And then I was like, what the fuck
Yeah.
is that? People shooting? And, no, it was bear
God.
bangers. And I lost a garbage can to a bear. That was a good one. I came home, and I guess the bear had traveled a long way to get some dinner, and it went through my garbage, and it
Yeah.
didn't find anything good, and I guess it had a tantrum. So the neighbors across the street were saying that the bear just threw the can around and beat the shit out of it and had a tantrum and spread the garbage all over the driveway. So when I got home, I just had a driveway full of garbage. And my
God,
garbage
man,
can
that
was
is.
totally wasted, and the bear beat the shit out of it, so.
That is so, so insane. I mean, we got, you know, this is a, okay, to show you how dumb the some of the people are. We have like a large, like it's called a wildlife refuge here. It's a protected area for the animals, ones rednecks really don't like. And they decided to take on a 5 mile island, right? They decided to put coyotes. Well, they don't, they're not, you know, they're not from here, not indigenous to here. And they
Always good
decided to
to
put
introduce new
coyotes.
things.
Oh, yeah, and introduce new things that killed off almost everything else. So then,
Yep.
you know, like my whole argument is I'm not no genius and I'm not no wildlife person, but when they kill off everything else, what are they going to do? You know, it's like, Jesus, man. You know, that's not good for a drunk, especially stumble walking
Then it'll
home at
be,
night. You decide to walk home.
yeah,
Oh, my
it'll be you
God.
left walking home drunk on starving Coyote Island, nothing to eat but
Yeah,
you.
yeah. Unknown rider John Patrick Robbins eaten by a pack of coyotes. What a way to go, man.
That would be added to the list of the crazy ways that writers have died. You ever seen that? So some of these crazy were like choked on an olive at some party from a martini and died on
Oh,
like choked
yeah.
on the toothpick or a
Yeah,
park
those
crane
weird
jumping
cocktail
into the
meds.
boat propeller.
Oh, God.
All these crazy shit, right? So that'd be yours dead because you were eaten by wild coyotes on an island.
Yeah, man, that is. Well, man,
I
I
think
know.
it's basically writers and chess players are like the two craziest fuckers. They always have,
Yeah.
you know, jumped out a
Which have.
window after playing a game of chess with a rat for a year, and you know.
Yeah, no, I think writers are far more interesting chess players. I mean, I think our stories are way better. You know, they're a little too smart for me.
Yeah,
It's
I
like
don't
being a
like chess. It,
mathematician. Yeah.
yeah.
No. And I
Yeah,
know you are a.
math and science was not for me.
Yeah. No. But
Chess too
you
hard.
definitely love history, man. I mean,
Yeah,
you
yep.
know, you went to college and you so you're probably really great at Jeopardy.
At what? Oh, Jeopardy, yeah.
So,
Yeah,
I mean,
I have a
go
master's
ahead, man.
degree in history, actually.
Yes. That's what I was going to
So.
mention, man. So does that ever come into your writing? You know, because I mean, I love history as well, but I'm not near anything like you. But I mean, you know, it's like,
No,
does that really come?
I just use it like you do, probably just for people and dates and things. I like to fuck around. I don't actually care about it or use it at all.
Don't care about it, just have a degree.
Yeah, good degree, but I don't give a shit about it. But good for writing, right? And anything for writing, so yeah.
Well, you can imagine plenty of people do incorporate it, you know. I mean, Jesus, but to me there's just like, you know, just like you know, man, there's so much, you know, there's I never run low on material because there's just, you know, people never quit being people.
Yeah. Yep, that's the thing. They won't let you down that way, right? They will continue being people.
Just overhear a conversation. Just don't let Ryan be near the conversation. He'll literally put your real name in there. Well, I know if I ever read anything about a shitty writer who has a really shitty show, I'll know exactly who it's about. But see, I'm different. That's incredible. It's like, well, who is this person, Ryan? Has my same name. No, man. And so are you working on a new book?
Yeah.
All right.
There's
so do you already have the covers done and all? I imagine you're just like precision, man.
Try. I actually look out, I don't know, when you see Facebook's actually been good, or social media's been good for finding artists.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
yeah.
I wouldn't know any artists, right? But there's actually a lot of cool artists out there doing like fine art and covers and stuff. So
yeah.
I look out some of their artwork as they're going along, and then every once in a while you'll see one. You'll go, hey.
Oh yeah.
That would look good as a book cover, don't you think? And they go, oh yeah, that'd be cool. And you go, well, on maybe a few months, I'm just working on something. What do you say? We just set that aside,
So
this has been good. I think the covers have gotten better because the cover art, which I really like, I think a book should be like an album. I always treat it like an album, right? Like when you'd get it like in its Alice Cooper snakeskin album, or like really cool and has the smell. And so I like the smell of books. I think it should look a really cool, like an album cover, and then read cool too, right? So, because that's the first thing you're going to see is the cover and the title.
Yeah,
right?
That's what's selling the whole package.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So I don't.
Well,
think
that's cool, man.
Yeah. But so basically, at the moment, I guess a few books came out. Smash and Grab Poems with Weasel Press.
Mm-hmm.
Truncheon Eater and Hurling Towards Symmetry is coming out soon. They're both with Marathon. Tigers in the Tall Grass, Panthers in the Street is coming out with Leaf Garden Press. And in a few days, I think one's coming out, a chapbook with Claire Songbirds or something called These Things You See. And
Jesus.
Then just working on a few books now, like the next books. But,
man, you always make me feel like the laziest human being on earth. I just want to get like a book out there, and then you got all these like kick-ass titles, kick-ass books, And didn't your because I'd read this. Didn't your wife used to do some of your covers, or am I mistaken?
Yep. She's good. Like that also helps too, right? She is a great artistic eye and does photography and stuff like that. So a lot of the photos have ended up from her work, which is very handy. Because
you lucked out, didn't you?
Oh yeah, because outside of writing, I'm useless in any other thing. I can't paint, I can't make movies, I can't make music, and my photographs would probably be of a piece of a floor, and people would be like, "What the fuck's that? Oh, that was a piece of dirt."
Well, you could be
a
grip and get in an argument with a sock puppet. I mean, so
well, yeah,
don't sell yourself
right?
short there.
That's bright beginnings.
That's hilarious. I would love to see that show, man. That is just hilarious.
You can probably Google it and find some episodes. I wish I could find the episode with me on it arguing with that fucking sock puppet, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
God, man. You are probably one of the hilarious damn guests I've had, man. And, Steven, I'm a huge fan of both of you guys, but, it's just your stories. God, man, y'all just do a whole story, just a whole book on your life. Make it a novel, man. It would be fucking hilarious. Because you got a great sense of humor, man, in your work. You really
do. That's what I like about what you bring to yours as well, and Stephen, and that is it's real is the one thing, but there is so much humor in it as well, right? And people lose that, the importance of humor.
Definitely.
Yeah. Speaking about the novel, I'm planning to try write one. Next year, but it's going like I think I have 3 pages. I have the beginning and the end, and it's like having
you gotta get to the middle part.
Have to get to the novel. It's like a human body, and I have the hair and a toenail,
And I tell
it's like,
you,
oh, it's just the rest of the body you have to do. That's easy. And I'm sitting here going like, well, I pretty much said what I wanted to say, and it's three pages. You know?
Yeah, man. It's just
and
like,
I have a horrible attention span. I'm always jumping around on things. I can't stand anything for too long. So obviously writing a novel is not easy.
God, yeah, no, it's people don't get it. I mean, you put out some, but it's hard, man. It's not easy. You make it look easy, but yeah, no, I can't imagine doing a novel from beginning to end is even remotely.
If we were like doing that with our bad attention spans, it'd probably come out like fucking Naked Lunch, chopped up into pieces, and you'd have your writer friends coming over like he did with Ginsberg and Kerouac trying to put pieces together and go, hey, this
oh,
would
man.
Follow this good, and we'll call it a novel when it's done.
It was crazy. It was great, but fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I think the best writers are all crazy. I don't think any of us are sane, you know.
No.
And I'm definitely not great, but I you know, I try to do good. But no, man, I think the hardest part with any book.
Good.
Well, man, I appreciate it. Well, it comes from you, man. I really appreciate it. It was like when I had Steven on, he was so fucking nice. It's like, Jesus Christ, do y'all really read my work? It's like, I would like to meet this person you all think writes, because it's like, no, I'm more the drinker. I think people are surprised that I didn't even know how to spell, which is not very good, you know. I think most of my teachers growing up would be very shocked to hear, wow, he's a writer? We thought he'd be in prison by now.
You know? Yeah, I'm the same way with the spelling, because when you're drinking, when you're writing, it's great for free flow of ideas. But man, when you go back sometimes and see the spelling, or like when you've just put in like whole words that don't actually fit with the sentence, and you're like, man, that's not even a spelling mistake. That's like a word mistake. I don't even know what that is.
I'm glad somebody else does that, man, because mine is like a whole different language. After a while, I'm like, I need like a decoder ring to understand my stuff when I, you know, when you really get out there and it's really flowing fast, you know? It's like, it's like, wow, what is this?
Start reading it. You know? I'm the madman on Coyote Island. I'm just fucking...
I'm the Coyote Island. Yeah, well, I know. See,
I'm just going to write this shit, and then eventually they're going to come eat me, and that's the end of it, so...
That's the end of it. Like, well, John was all right, man, until them coyotes ate his ass. Like, man, you are definitely one of the coolest people I've ever had on here, man, and I really appreciate it. And, of course, we are definitely winding down, man, and I definitely want to thank you for being on the show, but I'll go ahead and ask the stock question. Any advice for young writers, man, just trying to, who are fans or whatever, just want to kind of get on the path that you're on or any of us are on or such.
Yep. as you know, and the other ones, just be serious about what you're doing. It's not easy. Obviously don't get it in. If you're going to get into it for the money, you're an idiot. So, you know,
into what,
like oil speculation or hedge funds or something, do something else. Yeah. But if you really want to write, it's just for your own enjoyment, or you have to do it or get it out or whatever. And, keep it as real as you can, and don't forget to put the humor in, would be what I would suggest, but obviously stay humble and just do your shit.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's as solid as you can get, man, advice. And definitely pick up all of Ryan's books. Man, it's really been an honor, and I really appreciate you coming on the show, man, because it's just cool talking with you, man. I can imagine you sitting having a beer and shooting the shit, you know, because you're a real person, man, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I love, thanks for having me, man. It's the same thing. It's great to sit around, shoot the shit, and, you know, we'll have to do it sometime for drinks, but.
Yeah, that would be good, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I thought everybody had drinks on this show. Well, they usually do, but I haven't been to the liquor store, so.
Yeah.
I have drinks.
I meant in person, not.
Oh, yeah, well, I know that.
Yeah.
No, in person would be, it would be awesome, man. I mean that sincerely.
Yeah, but
good.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. It's an honor to be on the show. I was listening to them all,
man.
And I love the show.
God, I feel so bad for you listening to some of those early shows. But I know that I know there's some people that will be definitely thrilled to hear you on here. One is somebody who, for some reason, I think has a real mental problem, but I'll give him a shout-out anyways, is Scott Simmons, the editor of... the Daily Dose scene, who was a big fan, and was, you know, I think he wanted to call in during the show, but I just never let him in. on, but you know, that's what you have to do. He's like a little brother. You have to beat him down a little bit.
Yeah, I think he was the first episode that I heard of yours.
He wasn't. We've done some others, but yeah, he's an interesting cat, and wants to be an editor, and that's fucking scary to me. That's just like, you know, that's like saying I want to put my hand in boiling water. Like, go ahead, Scott.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I said, anyone who wants to be editors, congrats to them, because I couldn't do it. So.
No, not at all. But yeah, man, I'm gonna wind it down here, man. Ryan, it was an honor having you on the show. Sorry about the technical issues, but it was great, man. Seriously, great,
yeah,
great
thanks,
guest.
Man.
And pick up all his books, Ryan. I'm gonna say adios, and it was great having you. And hopefully, we'll have you on here again, man. If you would sometime, we'd appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, anytime, man.
All right, cool, man. All right, man. It was good talking to you.
Yep, see you, brother.
All right. Adios, bud.
Bye.
Bye. All right, folks, we are going to wind it down. I want to again thank Ryan Quinn-Flanagan. Please pick up his books. He's got tons of them out. One that I'm a fan of is Vegas Poems. You can get that from Alien Buddha Press. There's so many others that he has. Anyone you get, you're going to be getting something solid. You're going to be getting it real. And obviously you can hear that from the interview. Sorry about the technical issues in the beginning. I apologize to Ryan and for you guys listening, but I hope you had a great time. I had a great time talking to Ryan, and hopefully I'll have him on here again. And again, I want to thank him, and I want to thank you. This is Off the Wagon, and for right now, it's adios, my friends.